Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. Shh, I'll tell you a little secret. Dr. Jennifer loves Rice Krispie Treats, but will only eat them if they are a homemade gift. Usually, she's eating carrots and hummus. Jessica Labby is our co-host. Man, this woman likes stinky food. Really, I mean, like fermented vegetables? She says they're healthy. Oh, by the way, don't tell anyone, but she's not safe around Girl Scout cookies. Then there's Mike Clark, the producer. Dr. Jennifer is proud that she's gotten him off Cheez-Its. It took quite a lot of detox, but he did it. Or did he? Put these three together and you'll be entertained. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
So have you had any?
Cheez-Its?
You, yeah. Yes.
Not for a long time, but I may sneak out and get some this afternoon.
Oh,
now that I know.
Now I'm craving Rice Krispies.
See, you shouldn't have said anything.
I'm drinking a fermented beverage.
Yeah, that looks pretty
that
gross.
That I'm not interested in.
That's funny that it said hummus, because I actually had some hummus this morning.
I like hummus. It's good.
Yeah, at Trader Joe's, they have a jalapeno hummus.
Oh.
Yum. Mm. Yum.
I like black bean hummus.
Mm. Well, unfortunately, we're not here to talk about food today. We're here to talk about sleep. Mike, how do you sleep? Do you sleep well?
Sometimes, a lot of times, I can't, you know, because my job, I really have to use my brain a lot, so my brain just races when I come in from the studio.
Plus, do you stay up late at night?
I do,
usually?
Yeah, because it's probably not a good thing, but I watch late night television to unwind, which probably doesn't make me unwind. Yeah.
See, I was thinking you'd be in the studio late often.
I am, and then I come in and I can't ramp down, so, and I watch television, which is probably a big mistake.
Do you watch action shows on TV before you go to bed?
No, the late night guys.
Oh. Jessica, what about you?
I actually, years ago, took sleep medication.
Really?
Which I thought I would be on for my entire life. And I can say I don't even take any herbal supplements now.
Wow.
I sleep very well.
What time do you usually go to bed?
I aim to go to bed by 10 because I know I get the best sleep. But there have been a couple of nights this week where I've been up till midnight.
Well, that's when your husband gets home from work, right?
So I'm usually passed out like 15 minutes before he gets home.
Well, it's interesting talking to people about their sleep habits because honestly, they're all over the place when you talk to people.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the ideal sleep situations to let your body heal, to feel the most energy, to feel your best, be the most productive, and what to avoid. Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that would do anything to get a better night's sleep and they just don't know what to do. For other people, they have no idea that if they just tweaked a little bit what they're doing during the day or in preparation for sleep, they could feel so much better in general.
I have a feeling you're going to say no coffee again.
It always comes back to that.
I know.
This is where we're going to start. We're going to start with the very obvious concept that people forget, that healing occurs in sleep. Part of the reason that we sleep is to heal. If we didn't need to heal and repair, we probably wouldn't need to sleep. But we need to rest because that's when our bone marrow and our lymph nodes produce substances that empower the immune response. So to even give our immune response a boost, we need to have sleep. You know, there's something called cytokines. Those are chemicals that are released by the immune system that induce sleep when you have an infection. I mean, think of how smart your body is. It has an infection. It induces a chemical that tells your body to go to sleep so your body can heal. That's why if you're about to come down with something, for example, you're feeling like you're coming down with something, you feel more tired.
You get groggy. And,
Yeah,
that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I had a sore throat and I was really tired and I had no idea. So I honored that, slept a lot, and I never came down with anything.
And that's really, if you think about it, that makes sense. Your body was trying to heal. You allowed it to heal, and your body just healed. It didn't become a full-blown problem. The next concept that we need to discuss to wrap this all together is that your body loves rhythm. Now, some people are more in tune with that than others. And if you think about children and how even teaching them to go to the bathroom when they're potty training, or feeding children, feeding animals. I mean, come on. My dog at 3:15 every day knows it's time to eat. There's a rhythm there. The way
so
that
you're
we
talking about a schedule then.
Yeah, schedule. Yeah. Even the way that we try to adjust people, we try to keep them on a rhythm, on a schedule, because the body responds best when it's in a rhythm. It it knows to expect something and it can count on it. So here's some of the ways that you can have rhythm with sleep. Going to bed about the same time each night. Making sure you wake up about the same time each morning. And ideally, no more than about a 15-minute leeway for both of those. And, you know, I think what a lot of people do is they have their during the week sleep routine, and then they have their weekend sleep routine, and then come Monday, we're tired, right? Yeah, so, you know, within a leeway, trying to make sure that your body knows what to expect. I had this discovery that I wanted to start waking up early on Saturday mornings, same time I wake up for work. So I get up every day at 5:30, and if I work, I just meditate and go to work. If I don't have work, I meditate, and then I journal, and then I run. And so I've kept that going on Saturday mornings, and it does make me think a little differently about how I might spend my Friday night. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed that when I am able to get up early on Saturday, my whole day is different. Whole day is different. And even if I decide to stay up late on a Friday and I still get up anyway on Saturday and then allow myself, say, a 20-minute nap sometime Saturday afternoon, I actually have a better energy weekend the whole weekend than if I were to stay up super late Friday, sleep in on Saturday, then I'm still off on Sunday. Yeah, I try to stay in the rhythm, and instead of sleeping in, I just take a little nap later in the day. It makes a difference for my energy.
Now, that's hard for some people that have weird jobs, though, like mine, or like a police officer that changes shifts. I mean, you know,
that's very true. And we'll talk about that. Okay. But we are going to give kind of more the ideal situation.
I see. Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, there's been numerous studies that have shown that people who work third shift and do it for 10 years or more have a greatly reduced lifespan.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
So the body's just not healing. So anyone in a job situation that doesn't allow them to get that sleep from like 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., really long term, they have to have a lot of clear strategies to make sure their body's healing properly.
Why 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.?
Good question. That is when you get the highest quality of REM sleep.
Why is that?
Well, it has to do with circadian cycles. So it's called the circadian rhythm law, which really has to do with cycles of the moon. So you think about tides with the ocean, how it's all, we all know that that's controlled by the moon.
Right.
We have the same, basically, tides in our body. We have the same rhythm in our body controlled by the moon. And it's been proven that the few hours before midnight, so approximately 10 p.m. till about an hour or so after midnight, is the strongest quality healing sleep. That's called the golden minutes.
I always thought it was like real early in the morning before you woke up.
No, that's actually sometimes what people consider the hardest sleep, like meaning you're sleeping really hard.
You're dreaming. Yeah.
But it's not the highest quality healing sleep.
Okay.
Where healing happens and where repair happens is that time before midnight. So it's really important to make sure that you go to bed before midnight, ideally by about 10:30 p.m. And if you are allowing your body to get a good and uninterrupted sleep for about 2 to 3 hours at least during that time, you are healthier.
The
you
moon
feel
is pretty powerful, huh?
I guess.
Well, you know what's interesting is more sleep does not mean more REM. Theoretically, if you went to bed, say, at 10 p.m., and you woke up at 2 or 3 a.m., you would potentially feel more rested and your body would be in a better situation than if you went to bed, say, at midnight, 1 a.m., and slept until noon.
Totally. I've done that before. If I go to bed early, I'll wake up 3 hours later and think it's morning and feel completely rested.
Yes. And, you know, this happens sometimes with when people are older, with elderly, their body doesn't have as strong of a repair cycle and their body will naturally just wake themselves up. Say they go to bed at 9 o'clock, their body may wake them up at 3 a.m. and they won't be able to get back to sleep. And actually, they just don't need to.
Yeah.
That's
they're
just,
all rested.
They're all set.
Yeah.
You know, but yet they think that something's wrong with them. And it's not uncommon to wake up earlier the older you get, and you can feel pretty good.
Yeah. Then again, you're eating dinner at 3 p.m, so you're ready for bed at 5.
Right. But I remember back when, you know, my children were really, really little. And if I could get that, even 11 to 1, if I could get like a 2 to 3 hour stretch in that time frame, I remember I felt so much better the next day. It was amazing. So that's the time frame that's really
critical.
That's
tough when you have a newborn, though. I mean,
it is.
Your sleep's really broken.
It is. And, you know, you just have to accept that for a short period of time. Sleep when the baby sleeps.
Yeah.
So there's some sleep myths. It's actually a myth that every person needs 8 hours of sleep. You know, honestly, an infant needs like 16 to 18 hours of sleep. And even a young child, like my kids are 6 and 9, you know, they really need a good, you know, 12, 13, 14 hours of sleep to be healthy. A teenager, really, it's about 7 to 10 hours. And an adult, it's about 5 to 10. Now, that's quite a range, and it depends on the person. But for some people, 5 hours of sleep is completely healthy for them. Other people do need more. So maybe the average is 8, but that's not true for every person. So you'll start to, like, I've learned myself that around 6.5, 7 hours of sleep, I can feel great. My immune systems can stay
that's
high.
That's about what I get,
yeah,
I think.
I can do that long term.
6 hours or so. Yeah.
I know my sister would tell you she knows she needs at least 8 to 9 hours of sleep, and she's just figured that out with herself.
Yeah, I'd need at least eight.
But it's important.
You're still growing, though, Jessica.
It is important to figure that out for yourself and not come in with a preconceived notion that you need X amount, because it might just be the quality of sleep.
Right.
So how you would really know is if you went to bed and were asleep by 10, what time do you naturally wake up if you were to do that consistently? Mm-hmm. The other thing is we have these preconceived notions of being a night person or a morning person, and you can change that. If somebody says, oh, I've always been a night person, you can actually change that with your habits. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that. There's also a myth that your body needs to catch up on sleep. If you've had some travel, you've had a weird week with studying or work, and you've lost quite a bit of sleep, you really just need one solid night's healthy sleep in order to catch up. Right? It doesn't take you 1 or 2 weeks to catch up on a difficult night. You know, a lot of those are just limitations that we place on ourselves or self-fulfilling prophecies that we use. But really what we have to do is start looking at what happens in the hours before sleep, because that's what makes the biggest, biggest difference.
Yeah, let's look at those.
Mike, we are going to talk about that right after the break.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Okay, that was a good little nap. Okay, back from break. We're talking about sleep, and we are going to discuss lifestyle choices that affect your REM sleep. So remember, we talked about REM sleep is strongest in the 90 minutes to 2 hours before midnight and about a half hour after midnight. That can be affected, though, by what you do. So you want to hear the list of what can adversely affect REM?
I probably do all of them.
You're not going to like it. Okay, alcohol. Television, coffee. Sorry, Mike.
Just throw in Cheez-Its and get it over with.
Sugar, especially processed sugar, which I think is in Cheez-Its. Inner chatter, meaning you just can't shut off your brain. Worrying. Eating late, especially after 7 p.m. For some people, meat and dairy. Antidepressants. Commercial sleeping pills. Heavy smoking, because you actually have nicotine withdrawal when you're sleeping. And then, obviously, time zone changes. So did you know that commercial sleeping pills, Jessica, actually interfere with your ability to dream, and it completely interrupts your sleep patterns? It's such an illusion. I'm sure you experienced that. I mean, obviously, you got off the sleeping pills.
Yeah.
It's an illusion that it's actually making your body healthier. It might be making you sleep, but it's not giving you a high quality of sleep.
Right.
And then what else happens is these sleeping pills, they interact adversely with alcohol and tranquilizers.
You're all doped up.
Yeah, because the nervous system never really relaxes. So the worst thing that you can do is be having some alcohol and then decide to take a sleeping pill to help you sleep. completely screws up your nervous system. And the other thing with sleeping pills is they do lose their effectiveness in about 3 to 5 days. So really long term, they seem to not be effective.
So avoid those.
Yeah. Here's really the trick with television, Mike, because I think this is very common for people. You know, in our household, we only have a TV in the upstairs and a closed cabinet in our bedroom. So our children aren't exposed to television at all. And we have a no TV rule, no screen rule for the children during the week. So if David and I are going to watch television, it's after the kids go to bed. But I also know that it's not healthy to watch television before sleep. So if I do watch television, it's typically between 8 and 9 o'clock. And then I will read for a good hour before I go to sleep. And that's the way that I help my brain to kind of shut off, to get out of the television mode. And I really find that if I read before I go to sleep, I fall asleep so easily.
Oh, me too.
It's great to do. So then, you know, again, with alcohol, that's why a lot of people, you know, think of the scenario. You go out on a Friday night, you have a couple beers or margaritas, and you don't get to bed until, say, 1 a.m., and then you take a sleeping pill, and, you know, you really pretty much screwed up any chance that your body has to heal. Yeah,
that's
then
right.
You sleep until 10, and, you know, it takes you 2 or 3 days to really recover from it. So as much as it's fun to, you know, have some sins in your life now and then, you have to, if your goal is really to get your sleep under control, you have to be mindful that alcohol, television, coffee, and sugar especially will adversely affect your ability to get a healthy night's sleep. A couple pieces of advice with chatter. I've actually read some research that shows morning prayer or meditation time will reduce chatter later that night when you're in bed. Isn't that interesting?
I love to chatter.
I love that.
Well, you know, you're lying there and you're thinking, you're reviewing the day, you're thinking about what you have to do next, and you're replaying conversations that you had, and then it turns into worrying, and then you're thinking about, you know, am I going to lose my job, yeah, and how am I going to pay my
your
mortgage?
Brain gets
yeah, your brain
up.
Just goes crazy. One of the best things that you can do is just get out of bed, make yourself a list or journal, whatever you have to do to just write it down, put it aside, because once it's physically on paper, you can literally set it aside and look at it and think to yourself, okay, it's down somewhere. I can let it go from my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. And then, of course, the eating late, that just sometimes requires organization, especially if you have a situation where you're home later at night. You just have to either, you know, make the dinner meal purposefully a smaller meal and focus more on a lunch. Or
how about just skip it? No? Would you sleep better?
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
You would. You'd wake up in the morning nice and hungry, have a good big breakfast.
Yeah.
It would be better for your health. And, you know, ideally, if you know that's going to happen, have a snack, you know, 5 p.m., have something,
right,
you know, so you're not going to bed with your stomach rolling. So then what do you do if you can't sleep? You don't want to take sleeping pills. And let's say, you know, you already maybe screwed it up with lots of television, or, you know, you didn't do anything right during the day. What do you do? Well, obviously, the first thing is you do reduce what destroys REM, everything that we talked about. The other thing is if you do eat a carbohydrate-rich meal in the evening, you know, more like pasta and vegetables, that will help you sleep. Something else you can do is get out of bed, take an Epsom salts bath. That will help you feel more mm-hmm. rested, and you'll be able to go to sleep. So you take 2 cups of Epsom salts, and you put them in a warm bath, and you stay in for about 12 minutes. Something else, if you get up in the middle of the night and you just can't sleep, just get up and do something. Sometimes lying in bed and you're looking at the clock and it's a half hour, now it's an hour, now it's 2 hours, just get out of bed and do something. We mentioned reading books instead of television right before bed. Here's something else interesting. Eliminate all light, meaning completely block the light coming through windows with blackout shades, or wearing an eye mask that blocks out all light. What that does, it actually chemically allows your body to balance, especially women who have hormonal imbalances. This is a critical thing to do. And mm-hmm. some people find their quality of sleep with an eye mask is completely better than without one.
Really?
Yep. So that's something to consider. Exercising, especially exercising in the morning, will help you sleep better that night. Some people just have excess energy. I could see how that could happen with you, Mike. If you're sitting in the studio all day long, you didn't get to exercise.
Gotta do something.
Yeah, you finally get to lie down, and your brain and your body can't slow down yet.
Yep.
You just get the exercise in so your body can rest. And then, you know, I won't go into much with sleep apnea, but for most people, weight loss makes a huge difference. And it's just really important to not sleep on your back if you have sleep apnea, and absolutely do not take sleeping pills. That can be very dangerous with sleep apnea. Something else that happens is restless leg syndrome. Do you guys know what that is?
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it.
Like you just can't stop your leg from moving. Some women experience it in pregnancy, other people just in general. Oftentimes, you'll feel this restlessness because your body's not properly uptaking iron. And one thing that you can do before bed is take 2 tablespoons of what's called liquid chlorophyll. Get them at most health food stores. And it really, if you think about, it's a concentrated green. Take spinach and take the chlorophyll out of it, which is what makes it green, and condense it down into a liquid. So it tastes literally like grass. And you would take it like in
Yum.
A, you take it, I know. It has a fresh taste, but you take it like in a shot glass, just take, you know, 2 tablespoons of it. But it does make an amazing difference.
A lot of companies add a mint flavor, so it doesn't taste so bad too.
Yeah, you're right. It also helps with digestion. You know, and here's another concept. For some people, the problem with their sleep is they don't have a reason to wake up. So here's an example,
Mike. That's so sad.
Well, it is, but think about this. Say you're getting up to go to a job that you can't stand, or you're in a difficult relationship, or you're lonely. If you were going to wake up, Mike, to go to the dentist first thing in the morning, would you be that excited to get out of bed?
No, absolutely not.
But if you were getting up to, say, go jump out of a plane, Jessica, mm-hmm. or go to Disneyland, or go on a big shopping spree, or go buy some new musical equipment.
Nice.
Yeah, you would.
Or do the podcast.
I don't think I'd be able to sleep the night before.
Well, you would wake up probably before the alarm went off because you had a reason to wake up. You had something exciting. So for some people, figuring out, making sure they have something exciting in their life, they have a purpose, they have a mission, they have activities that they look forward to, that can make all the difference in your ability to get out of bed. For anyone who's thinking, I really want to do that, let me give you one tip. It takes a maximum of 21 days to establish a new habit or a new rhythm. So if you're going to make a choice to make a change, you have to give yourself about 3 weeks. Absolutely commit to it no matter what for 3 weeks. Be consistent and patient with yourself and you'll notice a change. You know, we're no different than toddlers. We want rhythm. And as soon as we give our bodies rhythm, we feel better. We're more consistent in our life and we find that we heal better.
Can I just add one thing?
Sure.
And maybe you're about to say this, but we have a lot of patients that come into our office and when they first start getting adjusted, one of the very first things that they notice is that they go home and they sleep better.
Really?
They'll say, you know, for the first time in my life, I actually slept for more than 6 hours.
Huh.
You want to know the actual science behind that? With all of our patients, we are upper cervical specific practitioners, meaning we'll adjust the full spine, but we put a lot of emphasis on the top of the spine or the C1 and C2 joints, which is right off the brainstem. And the reason we do that is neurologically, that is the healing center for your body. And the nerve cells that come from there produce chemicals that control sleep. Specifically serotonin and norepinephrine.
There you go.
Yeah, and when you get that area of your body adjusted, it helps you to sleep. Very common to adjust newborn babies or even young infants. And I'll tell the mother, don't be surprised if they have a really long nap, especially when they first start getting adjusted. And it's very common. The children will sleep for a long period of time. One more comment about naps. You know, ideally, if you're going to take a nap, you should use it either as a transitory tool, meaning you're getting your body used to going from an unhealthy sleep to a healthy sleep. Or obviously when you're pregnant, that can be a really helpful tool. But really a nap should be no longer than 20 minutes.
I love a nap.
And if you ever noticed, if you just take a 20-minute nap, you feel so refreshed.
Yeah, absolutely.
An hour nap doesn't necessarily make you feel better. So that's important. And another comment is think of your bed as sacred, or even your bedroom. This is where your body sleeps. You want to keep the feeling in that room very healthy and very sacred. So for example, if you are going to watch television, be careful what you watch.
There's no television in my bedroom for that purpose.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. It's more of an energetic situation where if you're having a fight in your bedroom with a spouse, or there's just a lot of negative emotion in the bed or in the bedroom, that can really hamper your sleep. So one thing that I know people do is they have the pinky rule. If there's any type of, with spouses, if there's any type of friction, an argument starting, something going on, grab
pinkies. Go to the bathroom.
Well, you can go to the bathroom, the living room, wherever, okay. But grab pinkies. And that's the sign that we can talk about this, but we have to be out of the bedroom and keep that space sacred. That makes a huge difference if you keep negative emotions out of the bed. And one last thing we're going to touch on is sleeping positions. Sleeping on your stomach is not healthy for your spine. You know, if I were to say, Mike, turn your head to the right, now just stay there for 6 hours.
Yeah, that's
right. Not gonna happen. You know, plus you have gravity, you know, pushing down. So you really want to keep your body balanced. So if you're going to be on your back, you want to have a relatively thin pillow or no pillow. That's going to help keep your head over your shoulders. If you're going to sleep on your side, you need a pretty thick pillow, something to hold the space between your shoulder and your ear. And find that if you put a pillow between your knees as well, it takes pressure off your low back. So that's pretty important. And, you know, sleeping positions can vary depending on your spine. And that's one thing
that, your side the best place?
For a lot of people, yes, side or back.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I want to end with a story. You know, we had this patient who came in to get adjusted for quite a long time, wellness care, she and her children. And she said to me one day, I really want my husband to come in and get adjusted. And I said, well, yes, you know, everyone should get adjusted. Has he had a spine check before? No, and he needs to come in because you need to fix his snoring. And of course, you know, being the educator that I am, well, you know, we don't treat anything. I don't know. We don't have a snoring adjustment. No. You're going to fix his snoring. You're gonna check him. Something's going to be out in his spine. And it, of course, his body will work better and snoring will be gone. I kept saying, you know, no, you can't look, you know, you can't say that. I don't treat snoring. So the husband finally calls the office and says, I'm supposed to come in and get my spine checked and get adjusted because you're supposed to fix my snoring. My wife will no longer let me sleep in the bed until I do this. So he comes in and, you know, I do everything in my ability to help him understand the principles behind what we do. We help the body heal itself. We don't have a snoring adjustment. We don't treat anything. We don't treat the snoring. Well, what do you think happened after the first adjustment?
Stop snoring.
Mm-hmm. He did. And it's interesting because he did have some problems in his upper neck and they were affecting his jaw. They were affecting his nerve supply through to the throat and the esophagus. And, you know, as soon as we did an adjustment, his body was able to do a level of healing that for some reason did stop his snoring. And interestingly, though, it still all backfired because after a few months of these wellness adjustments and his snoring being gone, of course, he dropped out of care because I fixed his problem, which is, again, not the true value and benefit of chiropractic. But the story is a good example that when your spine and your nervous system is healthy, you can sleep better and your body can be healthier. So I encourage everyone to get a spinal checkup if they haven't done so already. And not just because you snore, please.
Could save a marriage, though.
It could save
That's true.
On that note, be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.